Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon, my brothers and sisters. Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of TNJ Radio. It's your main man in the building, T. Foster, with my dude, Jay Wells. How you doing, brother?
I'm excellent, bro. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be back with you, man. I missed this.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute since we've been on the airwaves. Had to take a little hiatus and everything like that, but we back in the building, you know, bigger and stronger than ever. And you know, we just want to do a few things tonight. As you already know, TNJ Radio, solution based radio, and so what we want to do is you know, start talking about a little year in review, and we have 10 topics that we want to go back on that we feel, you know, were some of the most pressing issues from last year. And then the list is kind of long. You know, we only have 30 minutes to get through this. So what we'll probably do is go from 10 to 5, and then depending on how it goes, then we'll just finish up 5 to 1 next week, and we'll just get it popping like that. So, you know, with that being said, though, let's just get caught real quick, man. How was the holiday? How was everything for you, man?
Man, when I say I couldn't complain, brother, I can't complain, man. After a trying year, it's been like an enlightening one at the same time, man. I'm just excited. Just excited about it.
Yeah, man. Same thing for me. I you know, good holiday, hanging out with family, you know, taking it easy. Trying to get a little vacation time in there at the same time, you know. But it was good, and I really can't complain at all. And so with that being said, you know, I'm just really happy to be back on the airwaves, be back talking to our people, you know, bringing those solutions back, and, you know, getting everything back popping like we had it going, man. So with that being said, we're really going to jump into this, and because last year was a really interesting year for black people overall, and we talked about a lot of different stuff, you know, from police brutality to violence in our community and things of that sort. And so we was kind of looking on the internet, and Black America Web had this kind of year in review, and they had like the top 10 issues that they saw, or not even issues, but really stories of 2015. And what we wanted to do is, you know, go ahead and jump in on that, but put our own spin on it, because theirs is more so in that realm of, you know, just kind of recapping it. But we want to do it how we do it, and not only talk about it, but, you know what I'm saying, talk about some of the solutions that go along with it. And the number 10 item on their list is the Obama/Black Twitter. And I think, you know, for me, in 2015, man, I think just, and I really want to talk about President Obama in general, because his family really isn't involved, and you really don't see him that much. You really don't get a good feel for the family overall. Of course, every now and again, you might see some nice, cute pictures and all that, but you really don't get a lot out of it, in my personal opinion, when it comes to just like what's going on with his family and his kids and stuff. And obviously they look, you know, like they done, you know, grew like 10 inches, which is dope. But, man, you know what? To be honest, President Obama, for me, man, had a really lackluster term up until 2015, man. I wasn't feeling him. You know, I thought, like, of course I supported him, and he was my guy from that perspective, but a lot of the stuff that I felt like he should have did or could have did, he really hadn't done up until that point. You could really tell when the dude was getting his last stages of his presidency, when he just started doing whatever he wanted to do. And I think, you know, in 2015, that's really what he did, man. You know, he started speaking out more, you know what I'm saying, whether it be talking about ISIS, whether it was talking about, you know what I'm saying, I remember not too long ago he was saying the cat's going to pop off. You know, I mean, like, Obama really changed the way I view him overall in 2015, just because he became more strong. He started talking more about issues facing the black community. He started talking about discrimination and race and the difference between the haves and the have-nots. And so for me, that was one of the big things that, you know, I really noticed from President Obama in 2015. What about you, man?
In regards to President Obama, man, I think it turned into a situation where he acted like the guy we voted for. You know what I'm saying? He's acting like the guy that we saw in the, what was that, 2007? So I forgot, the Democratic National Convention when he first came out. And people are like, yo, who's this brother? You know what I'm saying? That's how he's been acting for pretty much most of 2015. And, again, with any leader, man, no matter who it is, there's going to be things to critique and things that you're not going to agree with. But for the most part, this is the first time, 2015 was the first time in a long time I felt like, okay, he's standing on his own 2 feet. He's not being a puppet right now. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that has been one of the heavy criticisms of President Obama for most of his presidency. And this year was, again, one of the first times you really kind of got to see him be himself and also talk about the issues that matter to him and the community that he comes from. And that's something that it has been exciting, you know. And on top of that, when you talk about the Obamas in general, like the family itself, they are the image that positive black family image that's the one we have now. You know what I'm saying? It's like without the Cosbys, they're who we got. You know what I'm saying? So with all the Cosby slander, this is the black family that we can look at. But oh man, that's a great black family. And it is something that a lot of people look at and they can see inspiration in and they can see motivation in when they see him, his wife, his daughters. There's no scandal, there's no craziness. It's very like it's something that a lot of people just want to strive for. So you can't knock that. And again, with the president, man, when it comes to him, you can that whole thought of seeing him act and stand on his own ideals and beliefs, that's something that a lot of people can support. And again, he's acting like the guy that we voted for. And again, for most of his presidency, we haven't been able to say that. So it feels good to at least see him flexing and acting like himself, and it gives you something to be optimistic about as he's on his way out. Because I really think the best things that, because we know this, and a lot of people, if you don't know this, you need to know it, being the president doesn't mean you have all the power. I really feel like he'll be able to make more of an impact once he leaves office. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like I think he's going to be able to do a lot more. And because he's not going to be beholden to companies. He's not going to be – he doesn't have to please this group. He can do – he can talk about the things that he wants to talk about. So I'm kind of excited. This has given me some new hope in President Obama because I really feel like he's going to do a lot more when he leaves office.
Yeah, and you couldn't stand his guts for a minute.
You already know, bro.
So, I mean, 2015 was a big year for President Obama, man, in my opinion, just in terms of personal preference. When I think about a solution for that, though, you know what would just excite me to no end when it comes to President Obama on his way out, man, is when it comes to who he pardons. I think, you know, for me personally, I want to see him pardon Assata Shakur, man. Even though she's not jailed in America, but I want him to allow her to come back home, man. You know what I'm saying? She went over there on some BS, been stuck in Cuba for, you know, Lord knows how many years, probably like 30, 40 years at this point, it seemed like. And so, I mean, I feel like him, who he decides to pardon is what I'm looking forward to. You know, that's really my solution in this situation. If you really want to make it right, if you really want to have black folks riding with you moving forward, then pardon the right people, man. And you know what I'm saying? And I think getting Assata Shakur, giving rather Assata Shakur the opportunity to come back home, man, would be a huge win.
Yeah, I think that would be, honestly, bro, that would be next level. I can't even that would be, you talking about something that would like single-handedly like motivate his base. You know what I'm saying? Like just showing that he is all the way in. He's two toes down. You know what I'm saying? Like, and people will rock with that. I mean, if there's a solution, anything, I would really like to see him go hard. And it's like saying like it's a Band-Aid, but I really think this will be something that he can really put his fingerprint on, is to really go hard on gun control. Because the thing is, the way gun laws are set up, it's easy enough where non-blacks can get guns, but it's harder for brothers to get guns, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? It's like
legal guns.
It's like to get legal guns, not like weapons, but it's like it's easy for everyone else to get weapons except brothers. And it may sound like I'm just making it, but check it out and look at the rules and the regulations. It's like impossible. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's really kind of crazy. I really wish he would do some major gun reformation on the way out. If he could at least get that started on his way out, I think that'll be a major win for him, because we're going to get on this to go dive in deeper on this topic in a moment. But gun violence, man, I think this is something they can really kind of make a stamp on.
Yeah, man. Moving forward on that, what about Black Twitter, man? For a minute, I had smoke with Black Twitter, man, because for a while I kept saying, like, what is Black Twitter? You know what I'm saying? Like, and people would be like, well, why are you saying what is Black Twitter? I mean, I'm like, is it a Twitter for, like, I mean, obviously not Twitter for Black people, like its own entity, but, you know, where we kind of separated ourselves from the masses and talked about what we wanted to talk about and enjoyed the things that we wanted to enjoy. And I ain't gonna front, man. Like, I spent countless hours up late at night laughing at hashtags, you know, from quote-unquote Black Twitter, you know what I'm saying? Whether it was, you know what I'm saying, the Thanksgiving clapbacks, you know.
Thanksgiving clapbacks was epic, bro. Epic.
Bro, like, bro, I was crying, you know what I'm saying? Whether it was, you know, like stuff like the Black Lives Matter and the Oscars So White, I remember that back in the day when I was jumping off. And so I feel like, you know, Black people, we have really, we've really positioned ourselves really well when it comes to, you know, having the ability to mobilize ourselves on the social networks. And then it's kind of like, it's weird because it's kind of like a good and evil type thing, right? Because
yeah,
a lot of the times it's, you know, it's the Black Lives Matter and it's the, you know, Oscar So White, you know, kind of like banging on the system and saying like, yo, like, why ain't no Black people here and this, that, and the third. And then you get the, like, Thanksgiving clapbacks and the, you know, the tomfoolery to go along with it. And I feel like a lot of the times, you know, real talk is more of the tomfoolery with the hashtags as opposed to, you know, the Black Lives Matter, even though that's been going strong for a long time, which I really appreciate. But what did you think about Black Twitter in 2015, the self-proclaimed Black Twitter?
Man, personally, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, just in general. And when it comes to Black Twitter, bro, it's one of those things that could be the ultimate platform as far as sharing information and gathering information. Because if you think about it, dude, we wouldn't have known about Mike Brown unless it was for social media. You know what I'm saying? We wouldn't have recognized what was really going on the ground in Baltimore if it wasn't for social media. So Black Twitter really is responsible for that. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right,
we really got to kind of take consideration that, yo, social media is the best form of media. Dude, we can't count on CNN. We can't count on Fox News. You know what I'm saying? It's like social media is what we have. And with everything being a button away, man, with Black Twitter and just Black social media in general, man, that's the best method for us to share our struggles, our highs, our lows. Like, you look at the positive stuff like Black Man Can and all those websites that do nothing but all those people that do nothing but to show positive Black images, you got to like that. You know what I'm saying?
Word,
but at the same time, when hashtags go wrong, they go wrong, bro. And it's like they get every
negative.
They go
terrible. Yeah.
Dog, it's like we go left. When we go left, and it's like it's all bad. And those are the images that are used against us. And it's like impossible for us to censor that, though. You know what I'm saying? It's like impossible.
It really is.
But it's like it's one of those things that we have to be mindful of. And with that, we got to take it. We got to take the onus. We got to put the onus on ourselves, man, and create our own images and put out more positivity to wash out the negativity. You know what I'm saying? We got to have more positive images to wash out the negative ones. And that's something we got to focus on, and we can all do that. We all got to do our part in that regard.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to kind of push along here, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it is one of those things where I don't want to be a killjoy and be like, yo, you know, we can't have fun on social media because, I mean, it is a fun place. And, you know, those hashtags really do take you back to a place to where it's like, man, like, this is us. Like, this is really how Black people are, you know, when it's Thanksgiving or when it's Christmas or when it's whatever holiday. But I think, you know, having more of an emphasis on the positivity and, you know, whether it be the violence or the water or whatever the case may be, and really having our eyes set on that is where the true power is when it comes to those hashtags and Black Twitter. And
yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of people have turned the corner and are using social media for more good than evil. And so, or at least I like to think so. So I guess, you know, I'm going to leave it at that. The next one, man, was Rachel Dolezal. And I mean, like, I feel some type of way about this because it really challenged that, you know, that thought process of, like, well, what does it really mean to be Black? And furthermore, like, who do we want banging on the system with us, right? Like, so, for example, if you fight white, excuse me, white supremacy or any type of institutional, you know what I'm saying, inconsistencies or what have you, then does it really matter who the person is that's delivering the message? And y'all remember Rachel was the head of the Spokane, Washington, NAACP. She was passing for Black, but then when everything really hit the fan, they come to find out that she was actually a white woman, you know, and faking like she was Black. But then she was putting in work for the people. And so then
exactly.
you get put in this really bad space where, okay, are we bang, like, what are we mad at her for? Are we mad at her because she lied? Are we mad at her because she passionate for Black? You know, kind of what was the real issue there? And so I don't know, man. What did you feel about Rachel and those shenanigans that went along with that?
Two things. At first, originally, man, I was like, yo, she's doing work for the people. I'm cool with that. I don't knock that. You know what I'm saying? The whole lying part, that's what I'm not feeling. Don't do that. Don't lie and say you Black. You know what I'm saying? It's like, people, don't do that. It's too many Black people that went through this too much for you to disrespect that struggle and lie about being Black.
So does
she
get that job? So does she get that job if she white?
Probably not, but it's like, especially with the NAACP. But the thing is, time out. Let's not. Don't let me go in on the credibility of NAACP. So she probably would have got the job if she was white. But it's like, she's, the lying part about it is what's whack. And then it turns out, man, she was suing Howard. You know what I'm saying? She's suing
right.
Howard for discrimination. So, and then she's on television shows talking about she's braiding hair to get by and all this other stuff. Man, she's a clown. It's like, at first I was like, yo, she's doing something for the people. That's cool. Just don't lie about being Black. But then she turned into a mockery. She turned into a joke, bro. She turned into a joke. She's a punchline now. She's like, I don't even know what to call her, man. She's just a clown. Like, that's it. She's like, I look at her the way I look at Charles Barkley. She's on that clown list with Don Lemon, Charles Barkley, just a bunch of, like, clowns. They're making a mockery of Black culture. And that's what she's doing, man. She's a clown.
I really can't say that about her. I can just say she went about it the wrong way. You know, like, I mean, and when you, a lot of times when you go about stuff the wrong way, it's really not what you did, but how you did it. You know what I'm saying? And I think, like, she went about it the wrong way. Had she just been 100 with who she was, Black people are the most forgiving people and understanding people on the face of the planet, if you ask me. And so if you came in like, yo, I'm right and I want to help, then 9 times out of 10, they're going to rock with you. And so I think, like,
mm-hmm.
kind of that's where she made her mistake, was not just, you know, by not being 100 and not completely understanding the way that Black people actually operate, which is, if you down to help, we going to mess with you until you show us that you can't be trusted and that you really not about what you're saying that you're supposed to be doing. So with that being said, like, man, I don't even really want to waste no solution on her, you know what I'm saying?
Not at all.
Just keep it 100 and, you know, everybody gonna rock with you. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Once again, TNJ Radio, Solution-Based Radio. You know, we're doing our 2015 year in review, and then we got 10 topics that we want to talk about, and then we're going to try and get through as many of them as we can today, and then after that, you know what I'm saying, however many we get through today, if we can't finish them, then we'll get to the rest of them next week. It's your boy, T-Foster, in the building. You follow me on Twitter, T-Foster_J-Wells. What's your Twitter, bro?
KingWells_.
So holler at my boy, J-Wells, on Twitter. Number 8, man, was Sandra Bland, and
We can do a whole show on this one, bro.
So we gotta keep it brief. But you know, at the end of the day, it's just another situation where you encounter the police, and you get treated any type of way because of the fact that you're black and because of the fact that, you know what I'm saying, you don't fit certain visual, you don't look a certain way. And the visual that they see when they get you, you know, it's not what they expect, and then they don't expect you to respond to them. They expect you to be yes, sir, no, sir, you know, and kiss their butt. And next thing you know, this woman ends up dead, and then nobody goes down for it. And then they wind up not even indicting the dude that caused her death. And so I just think, you know, that story really speaks for itself, man. But, you know, like, real quick, how did you feel about that, man? Like, you know, just in hindsight.
It's just aggravating when you think about it, bro, because I know so many Sandra Blands. I know at least 15 to 20 sisters that would have reacted the same way. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, man, that personality type, that stress, that's most black women. You know what I'm saying? It's like this is a situation where a cop just didn't feel good about getting punked. That's what happened. He got punked, and he couldn't take it. And he was so weak, he felt the need to put his hands on her. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it was. This is a man being weak. And that's what that was. And when you think about police officers, man, they are, let me not say that. They are not trustworthy in the mind of most people. They're not trustworthy. Like American, it's impossible for us to have faith in the mental capacity of police officers right now, because this was handled poorly on every possible level, and it's just really a disgrace, man. It's like no police officer should be able to hold their hair high when they think about the Sandra Bland situation. It's impossible, because you just look like a clown. Like, he's just weak. And it's like, when I think about the situation, man, it's like now that you talk about they're indicting him for lying about, I want to say he lied about the charges, he lied about something. It was like obstruction of justice or something like that. But either way, man, it's just nonsense, bro. It's just nonsense. And the entire situation should have been avoided. And it's disappointing that we have to look at another strong sister being shunned for being a strong sister. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're poo-pooing that. We're poo-pooing strength. That's what we do now. It's like, that's bad, man. It's like, nothing about that is cool, and it's just disappointing. And I think with Sandy Bland, dude, the thing that kind of hurts the most is when you think about her and the situation. Bro, we know her. You know what I'm saying? We know people like her. It's like, how many Sandra Blands do you know, Trav?
I know a few, bro. Definitely.
It's like that's what makes it crazy. It's like, dude, I feel like I heard her talk. Dog, you look at any Sandy Speaks video. Look at Sandy Speaks videos on my phone. That's how much it just resonated with me. Cause I just feel like I know her, and it was crazy, man. It's like, it's really just, it's an awful situation, and it's one of those moments where everyone, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, you have to take a look in the mirror and realize, like, yo, we are doing this the wrong way, and it's like the police are policing us the wrong way. And you look at the images of white women fussing at police officers and this woman sitting in her car talking reckless to a cop and see how they get treated. You know what I'm saying? I think everyone has seen that image of that white woman in a police officer. And someone said she's like in a New York subway station in a police officer's face cussing him out, and dude did nothing. You know what I'm saying? I think everyone's probably seen that image. It's all over social media. But it's just really crazy, man. It's just really disappointing when you think about Sandy Bland. And who knows what happened to her in her jail cell, but whatever happened, it couldn't have been right. You know what I'm saying? It's like something really shady went down there, but who knows?
Word, man. Number 7 on the list is black activism. And, you know, I'm gonna jump straight on my solution with this, man. I keep doing it. You know, it's been for a long time. I remember when I was in college, man, and it seemed like eons ago, but, you know, this year was really, like, a big year. 2015 was a really big year for black activism and, you know what I'm saying, in terms of people really taking to the streets and taking it to the federal government and their local authorities. And just thinking back when I was in college and I was writing papers writing, you know, for our school newspaper about, you know, racism on campus and neo-Nazis just coming to our campus and trying to run us off the streets, and how we had to, you know what I'm saying, go out there in the streets and get it and get it in with them. So I think, like, the the resurgence of black activism, man, was really encouraging to me. It really touched my, you know, touched my soul, touched my heart. And I just really, you know, just, hey, keep it up, keep it moving, because it's the only way that we can make it happen. And the last thing I'll say about that is the difference between America and most countries is that most other countries' government just so happens to be afraid of the people. But in America, the people are afraid of the government. And I think this is our opportunity to make the government afraid of us, in the sense of not physical fear, but fear that they can't do us any type of way without us having some say in the matter.
Yeah, no doubt. And when it comes to activism, dude, I just love seeing people taking pride in being black, you know what I'm saying, and being unapologetically black and just owning it. And it's like, that is so inspiring to me, because, dude, we both went to predominantly white college. How many Negroes we know that were just, like, sidestepping, you know what I'm saying, trying to act like they weren't a brother, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and it's great to kind of see young people kind of leading these movements and being the face of it. And it's like, that's the end of self-hate, because self-hate really does end as you start to gain that knowledge of self. And that's what we're watching. And when you start seeing more and more people start beginning to see who they are and being comfortable and in their own skin and enjoying their blackness, it's just awesome, bro. It's awesome. And it's just really great to kind of see it taking place. And I feel you. My solution is the same exact thing, man. Keep doing it. And we got to continue to be a part of it and help and just support each other, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what, man? Like, I was just thinking as you were talking, because, and you know what I'm saying, as we talked about Rachel Dolezal a minute ago, it's funny because, like, a lot of the people that are involved in the, you know, in the activism this year were white people, or, you know what I'm saying, non-black, and all the brutality and the mistreatment was geared towards black people. And so what I'm really starting to see is, you know, a big interest from other people and other races and ethnicities standing up saying, like, man, this is so crazy. I can't even sit back and watch this happen. You know, I can't even sit back and just let this go down like that. And I think that's really powerful, man, because I remember back when it was really going down for us, you know, nobody was from other cultures was really coming out and saying, like, yo, you know, there's no way that these neo-Nazis should be chasing y'all around the corner and all that good stuff. And so I just think that it's really powerful that other people and other ethnicities are getting involved with this and making it happen. We got through, let's say, five of our topics for the year in review for 2015. So I think we did pretty good. We knocked out the box, you know, a good portion of them. But, Wells, real quick, man, just, you know what I'm saying, go ahead and throw an overall positive vibe out in the atmosphere, man. Take a couple minutes and throw that out there so we can wrap it up and let the people get back to what they're doing this evening.
Hey, bro, real quick, just become obsessed with being in yourself, man. Become obsessed with becoming the best king or queen that you could possibly be. I think culturally, bro, we just need to embrace it and just start running with going crazy with our own skin, dude. We need to love being black the way it's meant for us to be loved. It's like, it's crazy right now. It's like it's just a great vibe. It's a great feeling when I see us just being in love with being ourselves and owning it. It's like, it's inspiring, and I think the more we do it, the more other people will start to feel that vibe.
Well, and I think, you know, the main thing that I learned in 2015, and I'll have more for the next show, but the one thing that I learned, man, real simple, was, like, it's cool to be you and be you. That's all I want to say. When I say, once again, TNJ Radio, Solution-Based Radio, tune in next week. We'll finish the 2015 year review, and as you know, God is love. Peace.